This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Hey, welcome back, potty people, to the Trim Healthy Podcast. And yeah, we're here. Got some good news and some bad news today.
Oh, I didn't know this. Please do.
The good news is I got bold and I tried my hand at kefir.
Did you really?
What kind of kefir?
With John's kefir grains?
Water kefir from John's.
Oh, water kefir, okay.
Kefir grains.
And?
The bad news is it doesn't work and it's hard and you guys lied to me.
Oh.
Hey, that's because you're trying water kefir. I killed water kefir too.
Oh, so water kefir's harder.
Mm-hmm. Milk kefir's easy.
Mm-hmm. Well.
So ain't no lies from me. Now, John believes water kefir's easy, I'm sure. John thinks they're both the same. Hey, but don't worry, Danny. When I first started kefir on my first couple of tries years ago, killed them both, didn't I, Serene? Gave up.
Yeah, I removed the mic from my phone because I'm eating. So
yeah, and then I decided, I watched my daughter Autumn do it like for a couple of weeks. And then I thought, how did I ever kill that? It's so easy. And I did it again, never did kill.
I wonder if my house is just too cold.
Because what do you keep your house at? Do you keep it at a man temperature?
Yeah, like 70.
No, yuck. My house is freezing because it's so large and so many cracks in it. And yeah. My kefir still stays alive. So it's something else you did wrong.
But yeah. I need to discuss this for a minute. Man temperatures in homes. Now, maybe I'm being like stereotypical, but I would never allow my house to be 70. That's kind of freezing.
Oh, that's cold to you.
Oh, yes.
Well, 69 or less for sleeping.
Ooh. They say it's better to do that. Or Leslie is agreeing with the man temps. No, I like a good 74 during the day.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. A good 74 and a 73 at night.
I'm too vain for it, though.
Why?
I'm eating, so I sound disgusting, but and it's not my yuck yum, so I have to chew for whatever's in my mouth. But I'll just tell you anyway.
No, do that. Don't worry about
the
podcast.
I find when the house is too heated, my cheeks are full of my food. I feel like it's going to dehydrate my face and give me wrinkles.
No, though, I think that's because you have like maybe more old school heating with furnaces, big furnaces and stuff. I have, what do you call it?
Air conditioning can do that
too.
No,
I know, but it's geothermal.
What do you mean? It doesn't come out of a vent?
It does, but it's geothermal.
If it's getting the air hot.
Thermal, doesn't that sound good for your face? Kind of does.
You can, just by the way it sounds, you can tell it's good for your face.
I do need to say something about your eating though, Serene. Mm-hmm. I would like to actually comment about you. Because we usually comment on Danny's appearance, but I want to comment on your appearance.
My mouth?
No, stop it. No, you have to answer my question.
Oh, man.
Looking at you, I see that you are wearing leggings with a wool skirt over leggings and then a wool sweater. Now, on top of your leggings, you have long black socks with flowers on them.
Amish.
Stop. Let me describe you. On top of those long black socks, you have ankle socks. On top of those ankle socks, you are wearing your, what are they called?
Birkenstocks.
Birkies.
Yeah. Socks and Birkenstocks.
And I'm asking to know, is this a new trend or is this just Serene?
It's Serene. I'll tell you what's going on. I had my workout this morning. I worked out with my nice yoga pants. That's kind of cool. Normal, right?
Yeah.
And I put my compression socks over top of the trendy ones. So that's kind of cool. Normal. I've seen that. I've seen even like CrossFitters at the gym, you know, doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have certain barefoot shoes that I exercise in. And they were half size too big. And so I always had to put these other little ankle socks to fit.
To fill
in my
shoes. And they're gray and they don't match.
But then I was running out to this pod and I didn't want to wear my barefoot exercise sandals and get them all muddy in your barn farm mess right in front of the stairs. And so I just threw on my good old trusty Birkies, you know? So I wasn't trying to.
No, I'm just very intrigued.
Can I eat my mouthful now?
No, I do. No, because I want to ask you about what you're eating.
What about it?
What is it? Because it looks interesting
delicious.
And you never share what you're eating. You're like, there won't be interest in it, but
interested.
I am.
Okay, well, I made my own kraut out of purple cabbages and red beets like months ago. I made like 21 jars and it's so delicious. And I'm down to like my last three jars. I eat it every day. I love it. But and it's not too salty. It's more like just a salad taste. It doesn't
good.
Have
I don't like it when it's too salty.
I particularly made it less salt by adding natural good bugs in it, like adding some kefir whey from my kefir whey and some other things from the internet that help culture the vegetables and stop the bad bugs. I still put the salt in, but half the amount. Okay, and it's really like coleslaw diced, that kind of texture. and I drizzled tahini all over mm-hmm. it. And then I threw in a bunch of sprouted sunflower seeds over mm-hmm. the top. They're mm-hmm. really crunchy. When they sprout them and dehydrate them, they're so crunchy. I buy them off of the Amazon. I used to make them myself, but I just don't have enough time. I bought them on the Amazon, threw those on. And then when I strained my kefir, I had too much to pour in my jar, you know, before I put the lid on. So I poured the extra over top. So it's like a coleslaw. The kefir became the mayonnaise with the tahini. Ooh. It's the most delicious thing.
So it's like
thing.
A double sour. It's a double fermented thing. You've got two superfoods. You've got kraut and kefir and sprouted sunflowers. May I taste, please? I mean, just leave me one bite. Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I'll stop chewing.
Now I'm chewing.
The reason why
that
I'm
looks amazing,
chewing,
guys.
I would normally have eaten my lunch. Dan, you don't want to take from my spoon.
No, it's great.
You're not married to me and you're not a
he
sister.
He looks so horrified. He has a grossed out look on his face right now. He's looking at us too like you're gross.
I thought he felt left out, but I wouldn't with Dan.
I was disgusted that I was left out.
You don't share a spoon with Dan.
Why wouldn't we?
It's not done.
We've shared spoons with Dan before.
But I want to say this. I would normally not be so rude, but the thing is that I was shaking from my matcha. Sometimes matcha makes me shake.
Why?
And I had to eat to get over the shakes.
Oh, just the caffeine?
Yeah, I just don't know why.
Yeah, coffee makes me shake, but not matcha.
Well, it doesn't me, so get over it. Okay, here we go. We got some questions coming.
Oh, can I just say one more thing? John is eating his sovereign water from his sovereign vessel. Drinking, sorry. He had a special look on his face just then as I saw him chugging. It was a special look. Only Sovereign John would have drinking water. The look said, this is the only water for me. I have found you, my love, my sovereign water. You shall quench me. You shall heal me. It was almost worship as he drank that water.
Okay, so he was.
Oh,
he was consciously
I caught a special
that.
Moment then. That's good.
That's
I love
precious.
That, John. Mm-hmm. But I saw that specialness.
It was his love for his dog face. Mm-hmm. He has a special love for his dog face. Hey, we got some questions and
you know, where are you going to put the comma in that sentence? You know what I mean?
It's his love for his dog face.
But people are tuning in for a little bit of meat. Something.
Okay, great.
Right? We've given no meat so far. Instagram, this
not
time.
My fault. You talked to
my daughter, Autumn. She's doing some of our social media posts and she asked for any questions on our Instagram page. If you don't liking our Instagram page and all that stuff that you do with Insta following and all that, you should. So here are some of the questions that we'll do as many as we can. They're good ones. And I thought we could start with this one. If you wanted to read it out by Lori Jess is the handle name. Probably Lori is her name.
All right. Could you do a back to basics refresher? Why is separating your fuels important along with anchoring your fuels with protein? Why not crossovers at every meal if you're trying to lose weight?
So it's a good question, right? Mm-hmm. Especially if you're a new person in the room or especially if you've just been listening and you need just some anchoring again. Mm-hmm. Why do we separate fuels? It's a really good question and one to revisit. And guess what? You know what, Serene and I, you know, we kind of came out with this through no scientific studies that actually studied what separating your fuels does, right? Because it was our own concept after going on many bodybuilding sites and seeing what the bodybuilders did to shred their fat and to keep their muscle and to keep their metabolism.
Oh, man. I mean, bodybuilders know how to hack the body.
Yeah. So then we discovered this and through going into the Bible and discovering what all food groups are in, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of amazing that they were able to do that, but we thought this won't work for women. It's very extreme. So Serena and I came up with our own way of doing this. But do you know what,
Well, it's not only extreme, it's very unhealthy.
There is a new study that has come out. Meadow just showed it to me, and I'm going to do a whole article about it, that actually shows that actually focusing on one fuel at a time is extremely healthy for the body.
Mm.
Now, there's obviously a place for crossovers because, Serene, you and I at goal weight and you are body, you know, you are working out strength training and we need some crossovers sometimes. And those at goal weight, we should do them.
I live on only crossovers now.
But if there is weight to be lost, focusing on one fuel at a time is a healthy way to do it. And why does it work? Let's talk about it, Serene.
Well, the deal is that our bodies are designed to always burn glucose first. Mm-hmm. Always, 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 always. It's a safety mechanism. The body's, blood sugar supply, it has to be kept at a certain homeostasis. So when there's sugar in the blood, your body's going to take care of it mm-hmm. first. So when you have a meal and you have your glucose mm-hmm. and you have your fats, which is the two forms of fuels together, that would be a crossover, having your glucose as a fuel and having your fats for a fuel, your body is going to say, okay, I'm burning this glucose first. Now, if you've got a bunch of fat added to that, you're going to burn through the glucose. Maybe you'll get to the fat depending on how active you are mm-hmm. and depending on what kind of carbs you've put in there. If you've done it with a trim healthy meal and you've done only the slow burning carbs, you may get to some of that fat. But wherein are you going to get to your adipose tissue? That would be third. You may never start burning that third fuel supply. And Pearl, I can see you trying to jump in. I'm just going to finish and then you're going to jump in. So why we separate the fuels is to give your body a chance to get to your own adipose tissue. So we single it out and we say, let's do an energizing meal. Let's just have carbs, okay? So it burns through the glucose, which is designed to burn through first. And it's like, ooh, I'm still hungry. I'm going to burn adipose tissue. If we do an S meal, it's the only time the body will be allowed to burn fat straight away. Because if you add glucose to it, make it a crossover, it won't burn it until the second, mm-hmm. like the second fuel. And so if you allow it to burn through fat first, it can still get a chance to get to your own adipose tissue.
Yes, so really it's a hack. Mm-hmm. What we're doing is without harming your body, as most diets do, you take away too many calories, you harm your body. You lower your leptin levels. You start intermittent fasting, you harm your body. A recent study came out just October of this year that showed those that skip the first meal of the day and intermittent fast, 16-8, they just found that you have a slower calorie burn throughout the rest of the day, mm-hmm. meaning your metabolism mm-hmm. slows down.
Yeah.
Or so all these different things. Or you
I
go,
found that to be true,
yeah,
actually.
Or you go just personally. Low carb. Okay, so then you have your own repercussions. But this is a way of including all the food groups mm-hmm. and then getting to burn off the excess fat.
And case in point, when Pearl said you now in this form of separating fuels, if you have weight to lose or you're wanting to maintain a certain mm-hmm. thing and your body is just one that mm-hmm. tends to gain if you have everything in. This is a way you can include everything and be thankful for all macronutrients, all food groups. Because Pearl, when we first started realizing, okay, we've always been removers. We always removed a food group and we don't want to be that. We realize there's health in all of these gifts that God has given us. When we put everything in, the scale
yeah.
was not so friendly to us. We're like, wow, we know that this is healthy for us, but we don't want to keep going up and up and up. Yeah. And that's why we realize, well, we still believe we should enjoy all food.
Yeah.
All food groups. We're talking about clean food sources here, not like candy and sugar and cake. And so this was a way we got to have everything, but still, you know, maintain our weight or lose our weight.
Yeah. And can I go back to something you said? This is where I wanted to jump in, Serene. Mm-hmm. But you said at the beginning, you probably might, if you put glucose and fat together, you will get through the glucose, hopefully, we don't know. You might get through some of the fat, we don't know, but you're definitely not going to get to your adipose mm-hmm. tissue, especially if you're, you know, compromised in your metabolism. And you said two things. You said if you are not, you know, if you have any blood sugar issues, did you say that? What did you say?
I can't remember what I said.
Yeah, you said something, but I wanted to add two things.
Oh, sorry, Pearl, I should let you interrupt.
No, if you do not have enough muscle, you definitely won't.
Right.
If you're a strength trainer and you work out and you have quite a bit of muscle, you probably will.
Or you're in a certain season of your life, like in your 20s, yes. you have natural good amount of muscle around.
Yes, you might be able to do more crossovers or you might be able to burn through two fuels in a meal. But if your metabolism compromised, if your hormone compromised.
Or you've got no hungry muscles saying, feed me with open mouths.
That's when this way of losing weight is just sensible because you don't harm yourself.
Like if you have a job, you sit at a desk all day, you mm-hmm. haven't had found time yet
yeah.
to exercise, and maybe you're in your season of life where maybe you're a postmenopausal peri, or you're in that season where, you know, your metabolism is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's adipose tissue?
Fat.
Oh, that's fat, excess mm-hmm. fat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and also, and now I want to tackle the interesting ending question that Lori asked. She said, why not crossovers at every meal if you are trying to lose
weight.
Say
crossovers 10 times.
Yeah. Why not? If you are someone, here's what I want to say, that actually can lose weight with crossovers, why not? Go for it.
Yes.
I would say go for it.
Yes.
There's nothing. Crossovers are fantastic. They are nourishing.
And that study that Meta shared with you about how it's actually healthy for the body to concentrate on one fuel at a time, that was a wonderful study to bring, because we want you to know that this plan is not dangerous.
Yeah.
And it was also a good study to bring because, you know, it's telling us that this is safe. That's the same point. Yeah.
Good job, Serene. Crisp it up. Crisp it up. Crisp the point up.
I actually had 2 points, but I forgot the one. Yeah. So I just made the same one
just
twice.
Repeated yourself.
But the point is that if your metabolism is one that can burn through crossovers, then crossovers is the best way to go. It's not that single fueling would be healthier for that particular person.
No, not necessarily.
Because if your metabolism is primed through exercise, through muscle, or through age, or through genetics, then crossovers is the best. It's not healthier to separate fuels at that point, because it's only good to separate fuels because most people that need to lose weight, their metabolisms are compromised, and that's when it is healiest to separate.
Yes, Danny, and then I'll try to.
But don't you think, like, if your metabolism can get away with it, crossovers is your ticket.
I agree.
Because it covers all the bases.
So separating fuels is a foundational thing in Trim Healthy Mama, right?
For losing weight.
So
maintaining if your metabolism compromised.
And what do we mean by fuel, though?
Fuel is your carbs and your fat.
There's only
and
two
your protein.
Engines of fuel.
Carbs and fat, but protein is a given. You've got to have your protein.
Right, but there's an anchor. But the body finds it is much more slower to burn through protein for fuel. In fact, in your body has nothing to burn, it will oftentimes break down your muscle inside of itself before it breaks down protein.
Yeah.
Okay. So in other words, low protein can lead to muscle loss?
Oh, it does. Yes. Catabolic. Absolutely catabolic. Okay. And you can't just have your protein in one time throughout the day. That's what all the studies are revealing now. Mm-hmm. Protein has to come throughout the day.
Yeah.
It doesn't just work to, I'm going to fast all day and have one protein meal. That is the most catabolic thing to do they've discovered just recently. Do I have to say something now though? Lori, why not just have crossovers at every meal, even if you want to lose weight? Well, there may be a way to do that. But if you want to really indulge in the fuels, like Serene and I, you know, when we first started Trim Healthy Mama, we're coming from kind of like a vegan lifestyle, and we really hadn't indulged in maybe the animal fats for a while.
We'd never had a steak with some melted Gouda on top.
No.
Ever in our life.
Well, I had eaten more meat than you. You'd been vegan longer than me, but I was 12 years without, you know, these fuels. And I remember just thinking, I can have butter now. And so we would kind of dive deep into the fats and really just exult in them and not at all skimp, right? And if you're going to really do the fats big time, like have nuts plus olive oil plus goat's cheese plus avocado, there's not really room to do a crossover if you want to lose weight, because you're indulging in fats so much. It's kind of wisdom to say, hey, just keep this kind of to the fats.
Right.
You're doing so many fats and you really want to enjoy them. Okay, great.
Let's let your body get to burn them immediately.
Yeah.
If you put a carb in there, your body's not going to burn them for a while. Like, it's going to have to go burn through the glucose first.
But if you want to do crossovers and you just really love them, there is a way to do them and maybe even lose weight with them. It depends upon the person.
Do you know how?
Well, let me finish this and then you can tweak me and tell me if I'm wrong.
No.
You can just make them, I would call them leaner, cleaner crossovers.
Yes.
Where you're not really super indulging in the fats. You're very nice.
No pasteurized dairy.
No, you're nice and safe with your carbs. It's almost like a macros or a zone approach, you know, but you don't have to get too county with it. But you can just eye it and like, hey, I'm not having avocado plus oil plus cheese plus, you know, butter. I'm just doing one fat and I'm going to be really kind of considerate with my good, healthy carbs.
You had one for lunch. I was staring at you at lunchtime.
Okay.
You had this big, beautiful, leafy green salad and you had tuna, which was a lean protein. And you had balsamic vinegar, mostly vinegar, not a lot of oil at all.
I didn't do oil.
Okay.
I used peanut butter.
Yeah, and you had little peanut butter and little tiny bits. And then you had a nice green apple cut on that. So that was a crossover because you had apple and a little...
It was more than like an allotment of peanut butter, but it wasn't like...
it was a lean, clean crossover. She did not have shredded cheddar from Kroger's on there, you know? And she didn't have an avocado and then some rotisserie chicken with the skin on it in that salad. Yeah. And then decide to put the apple
with
it.
And then have a piece of cheesecake afterwards. So they're a way to do kind of leanish crossovers. And if your body suits that and thrives with that and you love putting two fuels, you love putting a little bit of fat and some good carb in one meal, then that's just the way your journey can rock it.
Do you know what? It's really actually it's still tweaking the system in a good way. You're saying to yourself, I'm going to put a little glucose in there because I love it and it feels good to my body.
It needs to be over 20 grams.
But yes, but enough that I'm leaving room for my body to want to burn some of the fats that I'm putting in it, and I'm leaving enough room. I'm not going psycho with the fats so that my body will still burn some adipose tissue.
Yeah. So if you want to do these kind of lean, clean crossovers, Lori, I would suggest sticking with lean protein portions. So you're not doing like the skin on the meat. You're not doing the big fatty red steak. You're doing lovely chicken breast. You're doing lovely tuna. You're doing maybe some lean salmon, and then you're putting fat on, but it's just like, you know, one kind of fat. Or
case in point, our niece, Rashida, she's you know, she came out with a book, Trim Healthy Future.
Yeah.
She's amazing. She's a whiz at this whole plan. But when she was a teenager, she really, really loved to indulge in the fats. Because, you know, she probably came out of the plant movement too, you know, growing up on the hilltop when we were all kind of a bit veganish. But when she realized, okay, animal products are healthy, you know, I remember her loving to make cheesecakes and loving to make these rich, Meadow and her would make these rich desserts. They were such great bakers. They excelled at it. But, you know, she realized when she got a little bit older and a little bit wiser in it that she could actually take 3/4 of those fats that she would have in these excessive S meals, take them out, leave 1/4 of that fat still in there and throw in some carbs. Mm-hmm. And she was actually having less fuel to burn in these meals. They were, you could actually call them crossovers.
Yeah.
But they were easier for her body to burn through those crossovers than excessive S celebration meals.
And it depends who you are.
Yeah.
You know?
So she got thinner when she had wise crossovers.
And so it's really interesting. And some people just don't do well with putting the two fuels together. Their body burns one at a time. But some people, if you can be smart with it and wise with it, you can learn to make your own actually trimming crossovers, and they can actually be weight loss promoting for you, not for everybody.
Right.
So because I would play around with them. If you want crossovers at every meal, Lori, I would play around with them.
Exactly. Remembering when you're going to celebrate a fuel, if you have weight to lose, keep it separate because
you really want to
celebrate something, you're indulging in it.
Yeah.
And that won't be a lean, clean crossover.
Exactly. So there's that answer. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. Oh, yes. Yeah, so we've decided.
Serene's decided.
We were doing this little, the Treasure Hunters is a group that Pearl and I are on. It's just this fun thing that we're doing
a women's coaching.
It's mentoring, really.
Yeah. We just really love it. But anyway, we kind of do a behind the scenes potty. When we come to The Party each week, we kind of do a behind the scenes thing with them. And Dan saw a guitar in the corner that these bachelors that rent Pearl's potty barn during the week when we're not recording, they had left a guitar there. And Dan saw that and he hooked it up. And John found an acoustic guitar and they started singing away. And then we started playing away and singing away. And Leslie and Pearl and I joined in, and it was just, we were just like, oh my goodness, we have so much potty fodder to make songs out of. It was kind of half a joke, but we might bring it to the table.
I think we have so much to give as a band, I think the world, in a world of music that's kind of lost its way, I think we can show up.
He's already doing the interview when he's hit number one on the Billboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The lead song is going to be What If You Could. Written by Dan.
Of course, that'll be the opening song.
Yeah, I'm That Girl's another song.
We have a song that Dan wrote, actually, just, prophetic song he wrote.
It's like Fed by Leslie's Farm.
Leslie's Farm.
But back to this. Hey, there's another question came in, Danny.
Oh, back to the questions. I was about to get wound up there.
Yeah, I just saved it. I saved all our Potty listeners from
They know we were sarcastic,
that nonsense.
Right?
From the coming.
We're going to get letters. No, I really want to hear those songs.
Oh, they're going to hear them.
Cassidy's email. Do you see that one?
Charlie's going to budget for this.
Yeah.
All right, we're going Cassidy.
Cassidy. It's about her husband. It's a good question. See
oh,
that?
There's some lady named THM My Way.
Yeah, well, you can read her question.
Lean in,
hers?
Girl. But I got Cassidy's
okay,
if you want
read
that.
Cassidy's.
All right. My husband has been diagnosed with high cholesterol. We eat grass. I'm going to learn to talk. Ta-te-ti-to-too. We eat grass-finished beef, which has balanced omega-3s and 6s. He eats relatively no sugar. Works out every morning at 5 a.m. He was eating loads of THM recipes since that is all I cook until he heard about keto and decided it would help his muscles become more defined and help him lose weight. He's 165-ish pounds, 6 feet tall, and in my opinion, doesn't need to lose any weight.
Doesn't sound like it.
The keto thing bugs me, and I think it's not helping the cholesterol. I hate him having to be on a medication for hereditary cholesterol issues. Can you point me in a direction to find trustworthy medical remedies with food? I don't know where to research because I don't accept that medicine is the only way to help cholesterol issues. My husband can be healed. I just don't know where to find out which food will unlock the healing and repair. I know God can heal him. I know he will show me great and.
Yeah, sorry, I cut off that picture.
You screenshotted
that. I bet
that.
Sure it was Mighty Things.
Yeah.
Mighty
Things. Well, you know, first of all, are we sure that which cholesterol is high? Because sometimes you can have good cholesterol, and that's not bad at all to have high good cholesterol.
Yeah,
in fact,
you really
quite
want
protective.
To know the ratios of your cholesterol.
Hold time out, though.
And you want to know. Yes.
Hold. You can have high good cholesterol. Is that the thing at Walmart that wraps around your arm and measures?
No, that's blood pressure, buddy.
Okay.
Good job.
Okay.
Good
can you
job.
Have you can't have high blood pressure and that's good, right?
No.
Okay.
You don't
okay.
Have high blood
no,
pressure.
You can't have.
But you can have high good cholesterol.
That's
okay,
something
so
no.
Let's do a 101 with cholesterol. Yeah. Okay, please. So you've got HDL, you've got LDL, and then you've got your triglycerides.
Tell people the new peeps in the room that may not know which one is bad and which one's
I'm
good.
I'm going to.
Thank you.
Don't tell me what to do.
So now all of them are important. People call LDL bad. It's considered the bad one.
Yeah, but can I just say something really quick, just so people can remember which one is bad and good in the medical terms? LDL, I call it, you know, loser.
Lousy. People can call it loser. HDL is you want it high.
It's, happy.
Yeah, happy. Okay. But let me talk to you about the truth of it all. HDL is you do want it high and you don't want LDL too high, but guess what? It's all about particle size.
Mm-hmm.
If you have small, dense LDL, it can seep into your veins. It can go through the little crevices and it can become plaque. But if you have big, fluffy particle sizes, and even if your LDL and HDL are high, if they're both high together, it's proven you are not at risk for heart disease and plaque formation. And we need to look at triglycerides.
Mm-hmm.
If your triglycerides are low, say under 100, it means that your particle size is high, large, so you don't have to worry about it. So we'd need to know more information.
Right.
But are doctors going through this when they're reporting your cholesterol
no.
to you?
No, they don't.
They're just saying you have high cholesterol and here's medication.
Yep. Yes.
So this guy could be great.
He could be like in greats. And,
we don't know, but here's some things. And I do think that there should be a balance of things for cholesterol because we know that fiber from plants is so important and from grains is so important for cholesterol. I mean, oatmeal does help your cholesterol profile. It raises your HDL.
And our father himself has a genetic form
yes.
of it.
Yes. Now, there are genetic forms of this. And there's lipoprotein A1. And if you have that, you are at greater risk. And you can even have low LDL and still have this elevated, it's called the widow's maker. And so that's the main thing. You're going to make sure of that. But, you know, niacin is another thing that helps mm-hmm. that. But
that's
I
the one that flushes
say,
you, right? That gives you that flush?
Yes, it does. And it's the only thing that helps the LPA.
Yeah. Okay.
Lipoprotein A, I believe, 1.
Aww,
do you feed niacin to your ducks,
niacin
Leslie?
To a duck.
That's quack, so quack. Interesting. Who told you to feed niacin to your ducks?
Walden's Puddle, the
veterinarian?
Rescue,
Now, niacin in humans can give you like a red.
It gives you a
flush.
Yeah,
it's not painful.
No, but if you need it,
I had a high dose once.
You had a high dose.
Yeah, if you have a high dose, it's prickly. Ooh. It's prickly.
Oh, it's like.
But another thing, another natural remedy is red yeast rice, mm-hmm. and it's just like a statin, but it's a natural thing. It'll bring your cholesterol down too. If you have genetically high cholesterol, now, but here's the thing: I want to talk about it. I know that your husband may be convinced about keto, but it's not a natural way to go.
No, it's not.
Because if you do, I would try this experiment on him if he's open to it. Get him to eat oatmeal 5 days a week for 3 months. Check and put some psyllium in that as well. Check his cholesterol. 3 months.
And also,
I almost promise it will be
down. I don't think keto is really going to give him that. The only definition that keto gives is it's a very dehydrating diet. Yeah. It kind of takes the water out of the muscles.
It does.
And so they will just look more shredded, but it's not necessarily a real shred. It's a dehydrated shred. And so our muscles actually are better hydrated.
Yes, because when you take in carbs, your muscles take in fluid with the carbs. Mm-hmm. So they do plump up a little bit. And it's kind of similar to taking creatine, the supplement.
The bodybuilders want that natural
pump. Yeah, they do.
I take creatine every day.
I mean, you know, you can't convince your husband to do things if he doesn't want to, and maybe he's happy with what he's doing. But if he was open, I would just start, if he could like oatmeal, I would start with that and watch his cholesterol profile change. Just watch it.
Yeah.
I've seen it over and over with women. I've encouraged them. I said, you know, they're like, oh, I have elevated cholesterol. We talked about, you know, the ratio of cholesterols. And then I said, but hey, what are you eating in the morning? Well, I eat eggs every day. Well, eggs are fantastic. But
have
you don't
balance.
Yeah, where's your balance?
These eggs bring a lovely, healthy, good cholesterol that supports hormones. It's great, but that's just one side of the story. We need the fiber side of the story to keep everything
and
balanced.
And the beta glucans and oats, and what it does to your digestive system. Yeah. I feel like oats are a present from our Lord.
Oh yes,
the way they plump up with water and swell,
and we're Scots, of course,
and sustaining. Yeah, we're Scottish. But when I think about oats, warm, fuzzy feelings flood my body,
and also other grains too. Yeah. Ancient grains are so healthy. So healthy, I believe, for lowering cholesterol because of the good fiber that's in them, but also for our microbiome.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, that wasn't the question, but I just have to bring microbiome into everything.
You just got, Stu, and I tell you what's fantastic. Oats with kefir in the morning. Oh, baby. Yeah. Anyway.
What kind of kefir?
I do a lean milk, a cow kefir. I just buy 1% milk from the store. And I kefirize it.
Before we leave, are you guys going to help me fix my water kefir?
Well, I'm not a water kefir expert yet.
You can't talk to John Sov because I killed water kefir and I haven't gone back.
But
I like
Serene,
to drink it though.
Serene Pops, we are getting into water kefir soon.
Oh, yes,
we will
are,
come. We will become experts. But on milk kefir, like Serena's a resident expert. She's done it for basically 20 years, but we can't speak to water kefir yet. But our scientist guy that we
work
with.
John Sov, man. He's the boss.
Yeah, well, John Sov is pretty much a water kefir.
Okay. One question then, is the store-bought, you know, you can get kefir right out of a store-bought jar, you know what I mean?
I don't know. All I know is milk kefir store-bought's not so great, so I'm not sure
but
about
water kefir,
you ask
maybe.
John Sov, he'll tell you, he doesn't think store-bought kombucha's as good as homemade, so maybe store-bought kefir
John
water's
Sov,
not as good
we're
going to
give you the mic, and the question is, even though we probably have it studied by a scientist, is store-bought water kefir as good as what you make at your house? Here's
well,
the
nothing's
mic.
As good as the Sov's.
I don't think that any kefir that you make, water or dairy, is going to be as good. I mean, the stuff you make at the house is always going to be better. Just because, I mean, man, we all know what manufacturing stuff on a large scale is. But there are some really good, like, water kefirs out there. I mean, I think.
Can you say some brands?
I think Kevita is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like Kevita's a really strong brand. I know that. In the kombucha realm, Bucci, which is another woman-owned company out of North Carolina.
We better support them then.
Really good. But Danny, yeah.
The men-owned businesses can perish. Who needs men? Sorry.
Damn the patriarchy.
Sorry.
No,
you were saying?
Danny, we can get together after this. I'll help you out because it's actually pretty hard to kill either water or milk kefir.
I don't think I killed it.
Yeah, you can bring
it. It just ain't kefir enough.
You can bring them back. But yeah, any kefir that you make at the house, I think is going to be small batch anything is always going to be better and healthier.
And I do say don't kind of analyze what you just made for a couple of days, because whenever I
How did we get onto kefir anyway?
I don't know.
We're on cholesterol.
Whenever you do kefir and you're starting with a batch, I think the first week of that batch is throwaway stuff. It doesn't get good to the second week.
Oh, when you're for me. When you're starting something that you've gotten given
yeah,
in the mail.
Yeah, let's say you put them in the back of the fridge and then you got a new batch from you, or just something happens to them and you and something goes wrong. Or you pull them down the sink for a wrong reason and you just mess up, right?
Yeah.
So you get a new batch of kefir grains. Like that first week, I don't find it's good kefir.
No, I wait.
I pour it out. I just get a bottle of milk
animals,
and think this is throwaway
feed
milk.
Feed it to plants.
So it might be the same with water kefir. You might
rub it on
get
your face.
You might need to give it a couple of weeks, Dan, and then it will start effervescing you. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Hey, can we go to the next question?
Yeah, we can. Who's it from?
I don't know. Pick one.
I can pick from anything on this.
No, well, you had that lean in one. You were like, oh, lean in on this. Remember, it wasn't Cassidy. It was, we've already done her question. It was, what was it again?
Hey, go. This is one for Serene and actually me. Melissa Folk.
This is one for Serene and Pearl. I speak of myself in third person sometimes.
What about, do you see so Melissa's fun. Folk one if you don't?
I see it. Any ideas for an E yuck yum with some chew factor similar to the soaked chia seeds? I tried quinoa, but it didn't taste right.
Quinoa.
Or E, like adding something E to your...
I feel like I should answer this because you make S ones.
She set up this whole podcast.
Sure.
This is all a conspiracy for us to go home.
I love E, chewy, kefir creations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily drink them. I make them spoonable, but the same idea will apply. Do a lean milk kefir, Melissa, and then here's what you put on top. You put the gojis because they
I was just about to say, but they taste
gojis.
almost not chewy. When you put them in kefir somehow, the ones I get from the Emma in that brown bag.
Yeah, I get the same one.
They almost taste like toast. Crunchy.
Because
like,
they get hard from the cold.
Yeah, it's so amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it makes your kefir experience longer because you're chewing. And add, you're in E, you want to stay E, just add a rounded teaspoon of cacao nibs, right? Then you've got extra crunch, but your fat's still not very high. Mm-hmm. And then you could add just a few little toasted oats on top. You just shove them in a pan.
Can I say something, Pearl?
Oh, my goodness.
If you ever have any leftover Trim Healthy baked goods, like I make my leftover discard sourdough muffins. They have cranberries and things, and they're so moist in the middle but crunchy on the outside. If I have any leftover, I will be crumbling them into my kefir.
The best.
Makes mine a crossover because I have full fat, but it makes yours, Pearl. You've done it before with Autumn's leftover muffins. It makes yours just a beautiful E. And it is like the best pudding.
It's not the crunch, it's the pudding. But you put the crunch on top of the pudding.
Oh, it's like, it's the best.
I cannot describe to you. Yeah. Like my eyes roll back in my head
what
at how good
that,
it is.
What is that dessert we have down under and it's layered and it truffle? Trifle.
Trifle.
Trifle. It's kind of like a souped up trifle.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Hey, there's another question.
This trifle has sponge cake.
But I do think that your gojis will give you that chew. For any E kefir, just the kefir and gojis are just a match made in heaven, aren't they, Serene?
Oh, so
hey,
delicious.
What about from Rach Trim down there on that same one?
Yeah.
On that same one.
All right, Rach Trim. I would love to hear a potty about husband/men on plan and tweaks to help their stalls since they are different than we women. My husband is fully on board and mostly on plan, but hasn't lost anything in over 2 years.
I would wonder if he was having too many S.
I was going to say the
meals.
Same thing because men gravitate to
the hamburger,
cheeseburger pies.
Pestles, yeah.
Sounds to me like he needs some good carbs, even if they're like what we talked about earlier in this podcast, the lean crossovers, but plenty of volume in his food because he's a guy.
Yeah.
He needs some carbs. It sounds like his metabolism is his tank because, correct us if we're wrong and write in, because he's been focusing on the S's too much.
What my husband did, and he would come home. That's why it sounds so familiar to me, because my husband would come home from work, and if dinner wasn't ready and he was just manning out, you know, we'd open the fridge and it was deli meat or cheese hunks, deli meat or cheese hunks, deli meat or cheese hunks. That's all that he fed himself. And then when he would want me to make him a meal, it would all be the S kind of stuff. He'd have eggs for breakfast with sausage or ham or omelets. And then in the nighttime, he'd have his like meat and stuff. He didn't have any carbs to kind of like get his metabolism.
Same thing happened to my husband. He was like, oh, I'm always on plan. He would tell me about it. And after my dinner, which I made him, which was always like a cheesy casserole because that's what he wanted, ranch dressing on the salad and, you know, the good grated cheese on it.
Colton's.
And then he'd eat broccoli or cauliflower, but you had to put so much butter and cheese, right?
Yeah.
Then after that was his nut time. And he'd sit there and just eat thousands of calories of nuts, right?
And it was all basically trim healthy food. But it was abusive.
He got this thing where he couldn't eat nuts for a while. He got this diverticulitis thing. And so these days he can't eat a lot of nuts. He can eat just a few nuts. And I started tweaking his plan. When he's home, he eats what I give him. When he's on vacation, he's all on his own. But I would give him so many more E's for breakfast or even light crossovers and for lunch. And he started shedding weight. Like I give him the smoothie. It's actually a crossover. Where I put oats in it and I put half a frozen banana. I put peanut butter, almond milk. I put a cross between two donks of stevia and some honey. It's just the right sweetness for him. And peanut flour and our creamy, dreamy whey protein. But it's a beautiful E because it's got the banana and the oats.
Yeah.
If I give that to him a few days in a row, the weight just drops off him.
My husband started dropping weight too when I started feeding him oatmeal every morning. And now he craves it. I'm always like, eggs on toast or oatmeal. And he'll always say oatmeal these days. And I put the goji berries in it I cook up the sprouted oats with blueberries. Mm-hmm. And then I put a teaspoon of raw honey on top and just enough little sprouted pumpkin seeds on top for good for the man, you know, but to keep it in E mode, it's just a little bit.
Yeah.
And he loves that with some unsweetened almond milk or coconut.
And remind the ADHD ones amongst us.
He has a protein drink on the side.
Why oatmeal, which is a heavy carb, right?
It's not a heavy carb.
It's gentle.
It's a slow burning carb. Yeah. Why does it help you lose weight?
It's such a weight loss food because of
carbs.
It's carbs. It affects your thyroid hormone. I mean, it revs it up.
But what if I
stimulates your leptin? If you put butter, that's great. It's a crossover,
which is great.
But isn't that contrary to the idea that carbs and fats combine? You're combining your fuels.
No, but we're looking at you and we're saying, yes, carbs and butter are what you want.
You want to keep your weight on, not take it off, right?
No. But you just said that oatmeal in the morning helped your husband lose weight.
Because he didn't put butter with it.
No, we didn't put butter. He kept
it in the fuels were separate.
Yeah, but we put a little bit of fat. And but just enough.
Okay.
Now, when I do his smoothie, I put peanut butter in, but I put more than an E amount.
Yes.
But he still loses weight with it. Because
he's men and men can usually take a little more fuel.
And so I'm saying I'm almost 1,000% Rach Trim. Rach Trim, that your guy's not eating enough E's or light crossovers and he's focusing too much on S. And I believe that if he is open to you changing this up, I believe that he's going
and
to get
also,
out of this
And also, and I don't
store.
Know, oh, did she say he worked out? Was that the person before?
No, that was the person before.
Because sometimes it gets to a certain age if they're at meetings all day or if they have an office job or they're a salesman, they're sitting down or they're a driver, like something where their day is mostly sitting. I feel like when a man starts to, make his muscles hungry for fuel again, I find that they start to lose. Yeah. Sometimes sedentariness. In a certain age group of men can really.
Of course, she didn't say if her husband exercises or not.
Yeah, we don't know. And we don't know. He might need some testosterone too because that helps with your blood sugar. It depends what age he is.
Yeah, and it could be like my guy and the fact that he needed all of it.
Yeah, he needed
all of it. He needed a little T. Mm-hmm. He needed a little E.
Yeah.
Energizing foods, carbohydrates. And he actually needed a little blood sugar help through semaglutide.
Asking this one for a friend.
Yes.
Do vasectomies lower testosterone?
Well, I think that I have looked into the data for that and it hasn't shown that it does. However, some men fully believe that it has in their case.
They seem that they experience.
Yeah. Anecdotally, some men say yes. I've looked at some studies and they say they haven't found a correlation, but we'll see with that. Hey, do we have time for one? We're at 43 minutes in. How about one more?
Yeah.
I like this one from MKC McKenzie.
Yeah. I wondered how to make this plan work if only one member of the family, me, is interested in this plan, but the potato-loving and starch-loving spouse wouldn't want this plan. Trying to make life simpler, not more complicated. I get that.
Oh, I find it's quite easy.
Yeah, I would say, and obviously maybe MKC McKenzie's just like, maybe beginning, I'm not sure, but you can still be a potato-loving household.
Oh, yes.
I cook up a big, huge pot of golden potatoes every week almost. And then we do a lot of potato meals, you know, we of course have the protein with it. And if family members want to cross over with those potatoes and have them
stick
with
sour cream, butter or cheese in there.
Make potato salad with them or do many things, put butter, heat them up, but you can keep yours lean.
Yeah.
And you have a lean protein source.
So they everyone can eat the same chicken.
Yeah.
You know? And then, but you'll just eat the leaner parts of the chicken, or it'll be all lean. Maybe if you just do breasts for everybody.
Yeah.
But so easy.
And if he loves mashed potatoes, you know, you've got this big pot of potatoes at the beginning of the week. Mash his. It takes 2 minutes to do a single serve mash. Do yours a little differently. You know, there's so many good ways to have mashed potatoes that are I've got them in our books, but I could spend a lot of time.
And maybe she was just using potatoes as just a, you know, description of the fact that they're a carb-loving household.
Yeah.
So the fact is there's so many ways of having those carbs at the table that they're used to.
Yeah.
And you just choosing to cook up a little brown rice on the side instead of white. Yeah. Or just choosing to not have a carb that night and just celebrate with the broccoli and the protein sauce. It's just basically you just tweaking the edges and leaving your family the way they are.
Yeah, if they want to be the way they are, that's fantastic. I think it's still so important. So doable.
Yeah, I think it's so important to whatever you can, and not to stress about it, but however you can slowly steer their ship without them realizing it, because it's their future too.
Yeah,
that
their healthy future. We need to wrap it up because we're 45 minutes in. So
consider it wrapped, eh?
Yeah.